Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
This is Gary Dieter's music, but go back to where we started too, because it's Rest in Peace Coolio, so maybe a little Gangster's Paradise for the segment as well. As I tell you that Gary Dieter's in-studio appearance on the Border Patrol, brought to you by Houndstooth, 507 Walnut. Or you can just go to houndstoothkc.com. Houndstooth, old school, oh, but never old-fashioned. You like Houndstooth, don't you? You go in there, and you get a suit, and you feel great, don't you, Gary Dieter?
You feel like a real gentleman when you walk in that place.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling down in the dumps, walk in there. Walk out feeling like a new man.
So if you're all hungover and groggy like Nate Buchady in a hotel room in Oklahoma City, maybe if he'd go to Houndstooth, he'd feel better?
Nate, wake up.
Yeah,
we
wake
need
up,
you out
Nate.
There, man. We need you at little Houndstooth.
You need to be sharp.
Look good, feel good. I'm not hungover, by the way.
Could have fooled me.
Huh?
Nothing. What are you doing down there? I want to know.
I didn't have anything to drink last night, but I did get a late night Whataburger.
Are you alone in your room, or you have to room with somebody?
No, I'm alone.
Okay.
Are you guys Whataburger fans?
I wouldn't call myself a fan.
Are you?
I like it.
No, I think it's overrated.
Yeah, it's overrated.
Went there once, and I'm
but
like,
it's fine.
Not coming back.
You know what? Whataburger, if they want to sponsor the show and advertise with us, I'm on board. That's all I'll tell you. You know what I mean?
Good point.
Yeah.
What are you in there giggling for? What are you laughing about?
I forget that there's so many in town. And
okay, you know what Whataburger is good for? I tell you what it's good for.
What?
When me and Mama, were watching our son Richie play at a gig at a bar in Lee Summit until 1:30 in the morning, and then I'm thinking, man, oh man, we could use a hamburger right now. Whataburger was there for us, 24/7, put you in heaven at the right time, because that's big. That's a big selling point. You know, I get back to Berry Road, the McDonald's by our house, that line down the street, and I'm not waiting. And so 24/7 means something to me.
Yeah, it meant something last night.
Oh, I bet it did.
About a 12:30 a.m. Whataburger last night.
What'd you get? Just a burger? Or you get anything else?
Just a, I guess, burger and onion rings. Hadn't had the onion rings before.
I see they have a banana pudding shake right now that caught my eye.
Yeah, a couple of the guys that I was with got the banana pudding shake. I didn't sound, I'm not a banana pudding guy, so I went with the old-fashioned chocolate shake.
Simp. And now listen
like
to me.
So,
I like this. Okay. So how about this? Now I haven't answered yet, I forgot. I did get some further correspondence from Derek Dieter. He sent me the link.
Oh yeah.
To the big jersey retirement. Okay, the number retiring. Gary Dieter has number retired at South Bend, Washington. And so tell me how everything went.
It went great. It was a quick trip for my family and I. We kind of got in and got out of there. I had to do something back here in KC, but just seeing all the guys, I talked to Tyreek on Tuesday of the week and asked him if he could donate some of his Grip Boost gloves. And he was kind enough to send out enough pairs for the whole team. So I surprised the team Friday before the game with Grip Boost gloves, thanks to Tyreek. And, you know, just it's fun getting back there, just seeing those kids. They don't have much, so just getting back and just kind of being a positive influence. And obviously the jersey retirement stuff's cool, but I like having the impact on those kids because, like I said, they don't have much.
And so where does your dad live?
In South Bend.
Okay, so how often do you see your dad?
Probably 10 times a year.
Okay, so does he have
because I'd go through this with my dad. Just be honest, does he have a full grasp of social media and phones and everything else, or do you have to kind of walk him through some things?
He's got a full grasp of it now.
He's good.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Because this was pretty good. Yeah, like my dad.
No, he'll. Yeah.
I tried to sit down and tell my dad about Twitter, and he got mad at me.
Yeah,
so
no,
I know we can't do that.
He'll send out all the links and do all that.
But he's good with it. So
Facebook posts, yeah, all that.
Okay. And so you had a great time. That is awesome that Tyreek Hill did that for those kids. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah. No,
a star like that, send them the gloves, and they all get them?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I hit him up on Tuesday and had the gloves in my house on Friday, so I'm happy that I have a good friend like that.
Now, I click on this link from your dad, and I don't know. I'm just clicking on a link. I'm innocent in this deal. And it says, Gary Dieter has number retired at South Bend, Washington. Now, that's a good story. But then the story right under it, former Christian school teacher accused of sexting and twerking on student.
South Bend, baby.
Did you hear about that when you were back in town?
South Bend, you never know what's going on.
Is that something? So that doesn't shock you? Is that?
I mean, I feel like South Bend's kind of like the Wild Wild West. Like, you never know what's really going to go on in that place.
Wow. Nate, any comments on that story that was right under the Gary Dieter story?
Yeah, I didn't know South Bend was, got down like that.
Right. WSBT.com, if you'd like to do some further investigating there. I'm not sure that you want to, but it is available. And so there, that sounds like a place to go party.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. And then the next story after that was about a drug seizure where someone had a tiger in their house. And so there's a lot going on. So I'm glad you're back in one piece.
Yeah. No, made it back, healthy, feeling good.
Right. Okay. So we got different things to talk about. We'll get to the Chiefs. That's what we like to do. The first segment, we'll talk about other things going on, and then we'll get to the Chiefs and football. So where were you when Aaron Judge hit number 61? Were you please tell me you were watching it.
So we had our softball game last night, and literally we saw Aaron Hicks at bat right before, and then somebody on our team got out, so we had to go take the field as Aaron Judge was walking up. So
you didn't see it live.
Missed it.
Was it?
But I did get
furious with that.
No, not really. Cause I mean, I've been waiting for a week watching it every single at bat and seeing him get walked so many times. It's kind of getting old. So I'm glad it happened when I wasn't watching, cause then I could just see the replay. But I did see Anthony Sherman hit a 3-run.
Oh, really?
Game leading home run last night.
Did you guys end up winning?
No, they hit a walk off home run the next inning. But
who was the pitcher?
Our pitcher got almost got his head taken off a pitch before, so he was flustered.
Just fast pitch or slow pitch?
Slow pitch.
So slow pitch, and so a comebacker almost knocked out the pitcher. Pitcher was flustered, wasn't focused, and then gave up the game-winning bomb.
Yeah, just a meatball. Wow. But, I mean, it happens. It's slow pitch. I'm glad we had a competitive game, though, because we've been dominating, so it's fun to have a little competition in there.
But you missed the Judge home run and you lost, and so maybe things could have gone differently.
Yeah, double whammy.
Right.
Double whammy.
Okay, so that's fine. Now, Nate, do you have any comments about Aaron Judge and the home runs, or Gary Dieter, or Anthony Sherman's home run, or the pitcher giving up a bomb, anything you've heard so far?
Just congratulations to the Sausage. Happy for him. 3-run homer. That's clutch.
Yep, it's on my Instagram story if you guys want to check it out.
Nice.
It was a bomb.
Okay, so then Marco sends me this story that he wanted me to bring up to you. And this has to be something, all kidding aside, this has to be something that you're thrilled with. And I don't know if you knew about this or this was common knowledge, and I don't know if are you a fan of LeBron James or
I did see that article, yes.
Do you like LeBron, though?
I used to.
You used to?
Yeah.
When did you stop liking LeBron?
L.A. LeBron.
Right. See, Nate he's loved LeBron. And then Jake, our former producer, was very anti-LeBron. And then when LeBron went to L.A., I think, Nate, you kind of softened your stance and you could see why people are irritated by L.A. LeBron. Is that true or no?
Yeah, I loved Cleveland LeBron.
Yeah.
That's the only LeBron I ever really loved. I still like LeBron. I think he's great. But it's not like – I'm not trying to root for the Lakers,
Who's your favorite basketball player? Who's the guy that you love?
Man, I don't really watch basketball anymore. If I had to pick, I would just pick Luka.
Okay,
I think he's fun to watch.
Okay, so the story I'm referencing, Major League Pickleball opened up an ownership opportunity for LeBron James Group to invest in a new league showcasing elite professional talent in one of the most rapidly growing sports in the U.S. And so now LeBron, the LeBron machine, is getting behind this league. And you've been talking about you and Matt Beisler playing in big-time events and pursuing this sport of pickleball. What do you know about Major League Pickleball? And is this something, perhaps, that you have as a goal? Are you that good, you think? The investment and the platform that the group provides, according to the commissioner, will significantly help with their goal to reach 40 million pickleball players by 2030. And so the league's expansion from 12 to 16 teams opened up the opportunity for James to invest. And so here we are. What do you say about Major League Pickleball?
I think it's pretty cool. As I've been saying, it's kind of just like a growing sport, and you see more and more famous celebrities and athletes get behind it once they played a couple of times. You saw Kevin Durant playing. You see all these, I mean, just extremely famous people playing it, mainly because it's kind of an easy sport to get into and learn. But yeah, the Major League Pickleball stuff's pretty awesome. I don't think like Matt or myself can really get to that level unless we have to, like, those guys play like 5-6 hours a day, and there's definitely levels to it, like I always say. But I mean, we'll see. See in like a year from now how good we can get. But I mean, the pros, it's like any sport, like they're there for a reason. They master their skill. They put in the time and effort, and I don't know if I have the time to throw 6 hours a day in the pickleball, but.
So it's not the skill or not the lack of athleticism, it's the time commitment that will be holding you back here.
I would say time commitment.
Okay. And so, like, where, I mean, I don't, what would you consider yourself? Semi-pro? Could you be, like,
so, like, the way they do it is like, it's like a number scale. So it's like 3-0, 3-5, 4-0, 4-5, 5-0.
And what's the range?
And
the
then
lowest
pro.
Is...
3-0 is okay. The lowest.
Right.
After 5-0 is pro. I would say I'm like at least a 4-0. That's what Matt and I are playing in, okay, in Vegas. So we'll see when we get there.
And then when's the Vegas tournament?
2 weeks.
And so how is this like an open invitational? Anyone can get in this thing? Do you have to have a certain level? Do you have to have a qualifier?
I think you have to sign up in like your skill level. And they signed us up at 4-0. So I mean, it's for money. So there could be some sandbaggers in the 4-0s that are really like 4-5s, 5-0. Right. We'll see.
What are we talking about here? What kind of money we?
I have no idea. They said yesterday it's for money, and that surprised me. I didn't know that. I thought like the pro ones was for money. So
can you bet on yourself out there?
That'd be pretty cool.
Would you?
Of course.
I don't know if there's the rules.
Go to the sports book.
Yeah. Like if you're up there, would you bet on yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Like you've seen like Orlando Brown Jr.'s betting on himself.
Yeah. And Judge.
Figuratively, but literally you could bet on yourself. Would you do it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I think the way those tournaments are set up, 2 out of 3 games, so you're at least playing 2 games in one set, so I'd feel pretty confident.
Nate, do you have any comments on this?
I'm looking to get back into some pickleball. I got a ringer that I'm going to try to bring into this Sports Radio 810 tournament.
Like, what do you mean by ringer? Like, what are you talking about? Like a 4-0, 4-5? Give us something.
Details.
I have to ask him where he comes down on the pickleball side of things. He's my cousin. He played college tennis. If we were playing real tennis, it'd be.
It's not tennis though.
We're not playing tennis.
Nope.
I know. It's like. Poor man's tennis or whatever.
No, it's not tennis, though.
Wow.
It's pickleball.
He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you comparing this to tennis. So he says, is this like rich man's ping pong? Like, what do you...
It's like saying futsal soccer.
It's like saying that if you're really, really good at soccer, you probably have a better chance of being decent at futsal. You know, it's not the same sport, but there are a lot of the same skills.
That reference is so far over my. I have no idea what you mean by that.
There is a big beef between like real good tennis players and like pickleballers.
Oh, is
going
there?
On right now. The real good tennis players, I don't think, respect the pickleball game, which like I kind of understand. It's not as. I think their pickleball players think it's at a certain level, and obviously tennis is. Way higher than pickleball right now.
So maybe some there's disrespect.
I feel like tennis players think disrespect. Yeah,
Nate.
Yeah,
kind of. But my disrespect.
It is. Well, I mean, tennis is much more of a real sport than pickleball.
I mean, it's still a real sport, wow. Nate. Like you can get out there and somebody can put a ball on your chest. You know what I mean?
Right. Why don't you get out there? But it's a pickleball
that goes in your chest. That's basically a wiffle ball, you know? Like
it'll leave a welt, buddy.
You get this so-called ringer and you take on Gary Dieter and Matt Beisler and find out what real pickleball is all about?
Yeah, no, I'm guessing that Matt and Garrig would probably, my cousin's really, he plays a lot of pickleball too. He plays both. You get him on the tennis court, it would be no contest.
We're not talking about tennis.
Right, I know, that's why, you guys probably.
I'll play you in pickleball, but you know what? If we got in the boxing ring, I'd really kick your ass, but we're going to play pickleball. Like, we're just, it's not relating. It's not, you're not going to play tennis.
When is the 8-10 showdown?
October 20th.
All right.
It's during the day.
All right.
So I need you to clear your schedule.
I'm in.
Can you? I mean, is that?
I'm in.
I need to get some pickleball in. I haven't played probably since.
There's excuse number
the last
one.
Last 8-10 tournament.
Well, have you played tennis?
Since then? Once or twice. It's been a while.
It doesn't matter if you play tennis.
Okay, so
Nate,
you
get out of the kitchen, man.
It matters. Yes, it matters. It'd be better to play a whole lot of tennis than to not play either. But of course, playing more pickleball would make you better because it is different. I understand that it's different.
So you're going to be
in. A lot of the skills translate.
You're going to be in this with your cousin. You're playing.
That's the game plan. My cousin said he's in, so we gotta get together and play some. It'd be fun. We could train against Gary and Matt maybe.
They're not your training partner. They don't have to do what you want to do to get you ready. You're on your own there.
Rocky didn't
call Drago and say, "Hey, chase me up the mountain." He did it on his own.
Are we gonna be playing against Matt and Gary in this tournament?
Here's the deal.
I don't have
much pull, but I bet you I can get a hold of these pairings. And I can get that done in the first round.
We shouldn't be matching up in the first round.
I think maybe we should because guess what? I've learned that in boxing. You could sit there and wait to build up a fight, and then this guy loses before he's going to fight him. And I'm not waiting on that. I don't want to depend on you got to go do this and you got to do that. There might be an upset. The match I want to see, I'll make it happen in the first round. And that's the match I want to see.
I don't really want to play those guys in the first round.
I says, now he's singing a different tune all of a sudden. Why don't you want to play him in the first
round? My cousin's really good. I'm not saying it's single
elimination. It's double elimination. And so you'll have a chance to bounce back. Why not face the best and see and test yourself right off the bat, right?
Right.
He's saying he's got a ringer. Do you have any reason not to play in the first round against
him? If his cousin's so good, I'd feel pretty confident if I had a cousin that was such a good tennis player. Right. Playing pickleball.
I put my cousin up against you and Matt.
I think you'd be scared to play against Matt, though.
Would you?
No.
Would you be afraid to beat him?
Oh no, I wouldn't be afraid to beat him. No, I'd be afraid I couldn't beat him because you guys play a lot more than me. But
okay,
he might be slightly more athletic than me, just a little bit.
We're gonna get you more information, but that's gonna be October 20th. If people want to get involved. And I'm gonna use my contacts to see if we can get this posted on DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll have some kind of. We're being Kansas, so betting will be legal. We can figure something out, right?
Marco, I can draw up some lines.
Thank you, Marco. Draw up some lines, and we'll get that done. Okay, and then when's the Vegas one? What date is that?
October 8th, I believe.
Okay, so you'll have that in the book, and you'll have a better idea.
Yeah, after that tournament, confidence might be at an all-time high. So we'll see.
Okay, all right. So let's. Hit on the Chiefs, just opening stuff, and then we'll take a break and come back. That was a super frustrating loss. And we played Kelsey's, a couple of clips from Kelsey's podcast with his brother, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it.
I have seen it.
Scream the F-bomb. That's just the way I curse. And he talked about dropping that pass and losing focus and thinking about getting his feet down and, you know, whatever else. But to hear, I mean, there's no one better than him, Hall of Famer. And even the very best in the game that's done it for so many years, it comes down to fundamentals and focus.
Right.
Because, like, the most unbelievable thing out of that whole deal is he had his hands on a pass, could ice it, and he dropped it. Mm-hmm. You never see that.
Right.
What was your reaction to how he handled that and what he talked about and not making excuses with the son? And, you know, that's just, you know, if he drops one, anyone could drop one.
Yeah, I mean, it's football at the end of the day. Physical mistakes happen, so he owned up to it, and that's kind of all you can do in that situation. He that's why I like Kelce so much, is he's not afraid to own up to when he plays bad, and he can admit it. And if he can admit it, that kind of just shows you how tough the NFL is. It's, you never know what's going to happen. The Colts, who would have guessed the Colts would have beat the Chiefs that day? And the NFL is just it's a crazy league that anything can happen on. I mean, who would have guessed the Jaguars beat the Chargers by 28 at home? Yeah, it's just a weird game. You never know what's happening. And that's, like I said, I like Kelce because he's not afraid to admit when he's wrong and when he could play better.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get into some more topics about the Chiefs and Colts game with Garrick Dieter after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long.
Rest in peace, Coolio.
My mama thinks that my mind is gone, but I ain't never crossed the
line. You like this song, Garrick Dieter?
It's a good one.
That's right.
You throw this thing in the car, you're driving on the street nice and slow, you're feeling good.
That's what Marco did this morning, driving through the streets of Overland Park on his way out here. So, very exciting about that. All right, I want to play this clip from... By the way, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce's podcast is fantastic.
It's awesome.
And because the F-bomb he dropped, I feel like he represented all Chiefs fans. Mm-hmm. That's how we cussed when the Chiefs lost. But here is Jason Kelce asking Travis Kelce about the animated discussion that Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy had before halftime.
Two guys that are fired up, that love, you know, playing the game, that love coaching, they put all their heart into it, and in a situation like we were having in the first half, where I don't think we were necessarily on fire, we were struggling. You're gonna have guys bumping heads on what we think should happen or what we should do in the future, and we were getting the ball at half, so I understand both sides of the story. I understand both sides of the situation. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see that in every single locker room. You're going to see that on every single sideline if the cameras are on the sideline. Guys are just – it's a heated battle, man. Guys are putting everything they can into this. So every single decision matters. I'll just leave it at that. I don't think we were right or wrong whichever decision we made.
And, you know, we were talking about this earlier when Jeff Chedia – was in studio with us a few weeks ago about watching the Detroit Lions and them going through training camp on HBO on Hard Knocks, and Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn going back and forth and yelling at each other and screaming at each other, and Deuce Staley having animated conversations with people like this. And Chedia said Deuce Staley reminds him a lot of Eric Bieniemy. That's how Eric Bieniemy, he has a very aggressive personality. And so you've been around all these guys, and we've heard that a million times already, that this happens all the time. It's just not – the camera's not always on it, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see that, when you see them having an animated discussion like that going into halftime, what's your reaction?
I think, like Kelce said, everybody's kind of frustrated. First half's not going as planned, and Pat might have wanted to throw Hail Mary or do something just to try to get some more points on the board because he knew it was a game of struggle. But at the same time, EB is kind of the guy that will – I mean, they go over those situations every single week with the end of half, end of game type things where, I mean, sometimes you throw the Hail Mary, it might get picked off, and they might return it for a touchdown. So it's better off just to – like you said, like Kelce said, you're getting the ball at halftime. So just be conservative. But as a competitor, you want to score points at any moment, and Pat feels confident enough to – I would assume Pat feels confident enough to throw it in the end zone wherever he is on the field. So I would imagine that's what was going through his head. But it's football, and EB, like you said, fiery guy. Pat's a fiery guy, and the camera just happened to catch it at the right time, it seemed like.
But, you know, Andy makes a decision, and EB delivers the decision. So mm-hmm. It's almost like shooting the messenger there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what a lot of people don't understand is – I mean, at the end of the day, Coach Reed's the one more than likely calling every single play, and EB's got a big influence on it, but Coach Reed's still, in my opinion, I think he's still making all the decisions.
So you don't see you really don't see players ever yelling at Andy or giving Andy, you know, or talking. And then maybe the cameras don't pick it up, but yeah. You don't see that. Is it almost kind of like, well, I don't want to yell at Grandpa. You know, I don't want to, or, you know, I'll yell at EB or I'll yell at someone else. I mean, you know what I mean? There's like a different, like, or is it just the respect, or you don't yell at Big Red? Or
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's like you don't yell at Coach Reed.
Right.
It's a good point because nobody really does yell at Coach Reed or nobody really gets in his face. But I've seen a few times it's happened, not like in his face, but like somebody says something to him and Coach Reed will fire back right away. So
then it's over.
Yeah, so you know not to mess with Coach Reed. And EB's more, I want to say lighthearted, but like I feel like EB kind of likes when you like get mad and kind of go at him. I think that's kind of like the competitive spirit that he has as a coach / former player.
Nick Bucati, any comments live from a hotel room in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I like what you said there about the fact that EB kind of likes it. I think that's mm-hmm. something that hasn't really been mentioned as much. Is I don't get the sense that he runs an offense where he just wants everybody to shut their mouth and not have an opinion or anything. I think he kind of likes to push guys and I mean, I don't know. I don't really have any question for you on that other than I don't get the sense that he's the kind of, I mean, like when he talked about Mahomes being a competitive prick, he was saying that with admiration, not mm-hmm. like with, oh man, this guy's a competitive prick. He's a pain to be around. It's right. Like, I think he wants guys like that on his team, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's how EB is. He gets fired up and, like I said, I think he likes that. If you're not really responding the right way, that's kind of when EB will kind of fire you up, and he expects a lot out of his guys. So,
and you saw the tweet from LeSean McCoy, who yep. just, you know, what was his exact tweet, Marco? He said, you know, he'll look it up. He doesn't know nothing about calling plays or whatever else. LeSean McCoy's lashed out a couple of times since.
Yeah, no.
He clearly didn't enjoy his time here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean. Like I told you off air, he kind of came in was towards the end of his career, and EB's not going to, no matter who you are when you come in, if you're not working the way that he wants you to work, or especially, I mean, the running back position for EB is, he's going to be hard on you no matter what. So I always bring it back to when Kareem was here, just his rookie year, how crazy EB was with Kareem, like working and being on that dude 24/7. And I think that's why Kareem was so good, because he responded the right way and just worked harder, put his head down. And obviously, they're going to have verbal disagreements during practice or something, but Kareem was the type of guy that just put his head down and kept going.
But veterans, some guys don't want that, especially at the end of their career. They think they're above that, or yep. they don't want to be – they haven't been talked to that way, and they're not going to have it. And right. sometimes that's why it doesn't work out when they sign with a team late in their career.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said – EB is going to, no matter who you are, if you're coming in as a running back to the Chiefs, EB is going to be on you regardless. So it sucks that a guy as good as Shady was during his career comes to the Chiefs at the end of his career. And same thing with kind of Le'Veon was, it just sometimes it just doesn't work out.
So the other thing that stood out about this game against the Colts, and we don't see this that often, special teams across the board,
yeah.
But then you have a bunch of rookies that you're depending on.
Yep.
And you talk about, okay, there's going to be youth, there's going to be energy, there's going to be athleticism, but what you don't have is experience. And we went up and down. There's several key four-core guys or four-phase guys that were gone that they had to replace.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talked about growing pains on the defense, you know, because of so many young defensive players, we kind of overlooked the special teams part of it.
Yeah. Right? I mean – you don't really realize special teams until it happens, until something like a game like that happens. So it's experience is the only thing that you can kind of get in and just be happy that it happened early in the season. And Sky Moore will bounce back. Bucker will be back soon. And the rest of the special teams will just – Tobe will be on those guys to step up. He knows that – I mean, Tobe will be the first one to say that they probably lost that game because of special teams. So – he's not afraid to admit that, and he's not afraid to get on the guys to be better. But early in the season, you have to expect something like that to happen. No rookie or young player is going to be perfect, especially special teams. It's hard. I mean, you have a lot of those guys that that will play. They'll make a living on special teams. You have veterans that just know the ins and outs of what to do on special teams to kind of either get under somebody's skin or do some stuff that's technically not what you're supposed to do and just make plays. And that's kind of what you see. And catching punts, especially in Indianapolis where the sun is a factor with that stadium.
Right.
I mean, it's not easy. Catching punts is not easy in general. And when you throw in the sun, and it's just it's unfortunate.
What did you think of the fake punt?
Fake field goal?
Where they had the fake field goal attempt.
I don't know. It's, I don't know, kind of weird.
It's because clearly they, you know, their conference was rattled in the kicker.
Yeah.
But it was fourth. It's like, this is what we said, 4th and 10 in that situation. If you don't trust the kicker, well, then just put the ball in number 15's hands and see what he could do as opposed to that.
Yeah, I've seen a few fake ideas that when I was there, but I've never seen that one. So I don't know if it, I don't know. I would like to ask some guys about it, but it was interesting.
What did you see, like, what you know, for those of us that have no idea?
I don't want to give out any future fake field goal plays, right. But, I mean, there probably won't be any with Bucker coming back. I don't know.
Those might be off the board now.
Yeah. Tommy's throw was not good. Noah's route was 2 yards. I don't know what was going on. It was kind of weird.
Yeah,
it was a weird situation.
Because even, like, if it was a good throw, it seemed like there was 2 guys there that it wasn't going anywhere anyway.
Yeah, when I watched it back, I'm like, maybe they called, like, a fire call, like, where there's a bad snap and you just have to get out of there and everybody kind of runs a route. I don't know. It's
I get it.
I'll ask somebody about it and come back.
So here's the other thing that we talked about. And so you got to tell me about this. I think the game's going to be over 4th and 14. And Chris Jones is talking to Matt Ryan. And it looked like 2 guys were drawing back and forth. And then the official decides flag.
Yep.
Okay, you played in the league. You've heard about how they were emphasizing this no taunting and everything else. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you, with the game on the line, why are you throwing that flag? I mean, you couldn't even his head wasn't even bobbing back and forth. And my point is, it wasn't something demonstrative where he did something to Matt Ryan and people. Can you believe they didn't throw a flag on that? I mean, they're talking, they walk away, he doesn't throw a flag. You never hear nothing about it again. Did that surprise you, or did you say, oh, you know what, that's what the NFL's trying to do now?
Are you saying the refs have money on the game?
I don't know about that. I don't know if they have DraftKings Sportsbook. Are you? You tell me.
I don't know. I've heard a few different ideas. Huh? But
I don't know. Tell me what you're talking about here.
I don't know. I got some buddies that think the NFL's rigged. They said the Chiefs was like 90% bet on the Chiefs or something like that, and they end up losing. I don't think the NFL's rigged.
You don't think you hear that?
Oh, I hear
my
it.
My Twitter feed's filled with that.
Yeah, I mean,
from the AFC Championship game was rigged. This was rigged.
I mean, you gotta. I don't know. There's no chance. I mean, you got guys that are playing for their livelihood, so nobody's gonna do anything. But yeah, I mean,
right. But I'm just saying, like, don't throw that flag. Why throw that flag?
Yeah, you'd have to. We gotta get the referee on to see what he's. I don't know.
Like, is there something that he could have? I mean,
is there something he could have said that?
Like, what do you got to say to get that flag in that situation?
You got to be pretty aggressive, I would say. But knowing Chris, I would assume that he was probably pretty aggressive. I mean, what do you say? He's got to be better. He's a veteran player, and he can't do stuff like that. So it just happened. The ref was, I mean, literally right there. So the ref probably heard every single word. And like you said, taunting is something that they've emphasized over the last few years. So they gotta stick to their guns and throw the flag when something like that happens.
Nate, any follow-up comments before we break?
Well, I have a question about Sky Moore to go back to. Should I save that for after the break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Anything about okay. The Chris Jones? Or?
Nah. Nothing? Whatever. You know, I mean.
There it is. There's some input.
They called it. He owned it. You know, it's.
What's the worst thing someone ever said to you on the field? An opponent. The worst piece of trash talk. The worst thing that anyone ever said to you? You son of a...
I don't know. There's
college, nothing.
Not really, like, words. I hate when I, like, somebody would hold me if I'm, like, running a route, DBs. I'd have some heated battles / I would, like, be in, like, fighting moods if I would be held too much during practice. Or
Who did that in practice? Who held you too much?
Just random DBs over the last 5 years.
Nobody that you think about, like, I'd like to take a crack at him if I got a chance.
Me and Chris Lammons went after Chris it a few Lammons. Times.
Yeah,
I like Chris though.
You like him? But
yeah, we're
you
good.
Know,
we're good buddies.
He pissed you off.
But he pissed me off a few times.
Oh, I got friends I'd like to punch.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's no problem with that. Nate Bucchetti, any comments from you on that before we break? Nothing.
Wake up.
Why is my name come up right when you bring up people you want to punch?
No, I said you would. I said, do you have any comments? I was asking, do you have anyone you want to punch? That's all I was asking you.
I got people I want to punch. Nick and Katie, what do you have to say?
We'll take a break. That's ridiculous. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Gary Dieter, is Chicken and Pickle a good place to watch the Chiefs games?
Excellent place.
Yes.
This Sunday night in Wichita, Kansas, at Chicken and Pickle.
We're broadcasting to Wichita right now.
Myself, Anthony Sherman, Blake Bell, Cornell Powell will be in attendance in Chicken and Pickle in Wichita.
Hold on here.
We're going to be playing pickleball against the fans. I will bring my Super Bowl ring for fans to come out and see. And it'll just be a fun hangout.
We are broadcast. Marco, we are broadcasting live at Wichita. Are we not? Say hello to Wichita.
We are in the 316.
Okay, we are in Wichita. Gary Dieter's coming to Wichita. And he's going to be the Chicken and Pickle. And so it's going to be, what time will you be there?
We get in at 4 o'clock. We'll be playing some pickleball against a couple fans at 4.
Oh.
Autographs shortly after. And then game time, we'll be hanging out, mingling.
You, Blake Bell, Anthony Sherman, Cornell Powell, yep. Chicken and Pickle. So where do you normally keep your Super Bowl ring?
In the safe. So
it's in a safe.
My jersey retirement was the first time I took it out of the safe and actually wore it. So this will be my second time ever.
So like if you go to Hy-Vee to shop, you just don't have it on?
I don't have it on.
You don't like going to say, hey, How much
yeah,
is this?
Yeah, check it out. How you doing?
Right. Yeah, how you doing? I'd like a pound of this turkey here.
No, haven't done that yet.
But you'll do it at Chicken and Pickle.
I will do that, Chicken and Pickle.
And so and that sounds like a fun crew you got. You got the Belldozer. You got the Sausage. What's Cornell Powell's nickname? Is he got a nickname?
I don't think he has a nickname, but he's pretty good at pickleball.
Okay, well, there you go.
Corny.
Corny. Corn dog.
Corny P.
It's a corny nickname.
Cornholio.
Corny P.
Something like that. Nate. Nate has taken a long time for him to embrace Wichita because he got his heart broken by a woman in Wichita, and he didn't like it. But that's fine. But you would sign off on this kind of event at the Chicken and Pickle in Wichita, wouldn't you, Nate, or not?
I'm going to be at the Chicken and Pickle in OP Sunday night watching the game with a pretty big VIP crew.
That's not in Wichita, though, now, is it? We're promoting an event in Wichita, and you're trying to steal the glory from that. So why are you doing that? Gary's trying to promote this event.
You know how I do.
Yeah.
What? So look,
what?
There's plenty of Chicken and Pickle love to go around, is what right. I'm trying to say.
Boy, Marissa, the intern, got so mad, she's walking out now. She said, I've had enough of wow. Nate, attention whore Nate. Where are you going? You got class now, Marissa?
Listen, I have so much that I need to do today and tomorrow, and not a lot of time to do it.
Right, and you've had enough of Nate, so I got you. Thank you, Marissa, the intern, who was here,
did her
homework, and now she's leaving. Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, did you bump into a friend of Nate's this past week?
I went over to Sporting, saw a couple people, and jiu-jitsu class got brought up that it happens once a week, and it just happened that to say that they love when Nate shows up, because they're going to be, I think Nate said it one day, they know fresh meat's walking through the door, and they can put the guy out whenever
they
want.
They like to choke him out? Is that what they
said? Yeah, they said they go about 20%, and they still get Nate, so I don't know, Nate. We gotta get a little action going here.
So Gary Dieter said that they fight over who gets to roll with you. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm aware, because guys like line are like, hey, are you come to jiu-jitsu next
right.
week? You know, it's humbling. I think I got tapped out like 5 times last time, like in 20 minutes.
They're all hot to trot for you, man. Eli, that's a compliment. Yeah. You're a welcome prospect for them. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Would you rather people not want you be around?
Well,
you're a popular guy.
I think the whole you know thing about why they want you around is kind of important. But you know, it's nice to be appreciated.
It's just going to make you tougher.
You bring something to the table.
You know?
No, well, definitely, it's definitely humbling me, you know? So, in the old way. So,
Gary, you should go. You should go and see if you can roll with Nate.
What were you doing out there, Gary?
Meeting up with Mike. I got this. He gave me some Sporting Kansas City swag that I'm supporting right now. Yeah. And
nice.
He's a great guy. Very knowledgeable in the fight game.
Yeah, Kitman Mike Flaherty. He's big time. In fact, I'm down here. You know, I did this Invicta card last night, and the defending champ who lost her title last night was a big Sporting fan, and mm-hmm. so Mike loaded me up with some gear for her. I dropped off for her and her crew last night, and I know Mike was watching the fights. He's the one that got me into doing these jiu-jitsu classes, and I think he specifically invited me so he'd have someone that whose ass he could kick.
Good.
Every week, you know, but I appreciate it.
So before we let you go, Gehrig, Tampa Bay is the next opponent. And Tom Brady apparently will never retire. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think of this matchup between the Chiefs and the Bucs?
It's an interesting one. Bucs gets both teams coming off a loss. You got the hurricane going on right now in Florida. Are they going to move the game to an indoor facility?
Minnesota, maybe.
That'd be interesting. I don't know. I feel like Pat plays better outside,
right?
In my opinion. But I don't know. It's a big game for both teams. Obviously, Super Bowl matchup, rematch, and Tom Brady's not having the best year, I would say. And the Chiefs need to make a statement. I think this is the game to do it. Sunday Night Football, it doesn't really get any bigger than Sunday Night Football nowadays. So Chiefs need to win, in my opinion. They need to get back on track and show people that they're their juggernaut.
When I say Tom Brady, what do you think? What's your first thing that pops in your mind? You sick of him yet enough?
Nah, he's the best of all time.
Best of all time.
Yeah, he's the best. I mean, I think everybody's kind of ready for him to kind of see what the next venture is for him.
Right.
I bet you he gets into pickleball when he's done.
Oh, you think so?
100%.
Maybe he'll be in this league with him.
He might be. It's a little celebrity action. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind he'll be in there.
Yeah. So tell people again that all the people listening in Wichita, what they can do Sunday night. Lots of big Chiefs fans in Wichita that are listening to the show right now, and what a great opportunity to hang out with some of the players and enjoy great food and drinks and a great atmosphere for the Chiefs game.
Atmosphere is going to be insane. Huge, huge, huge watch party at Chicken and Pickle in Wichita, starting at 4 o'clock, goes to the end of the game. So make sure you come out, support. There'll be some awesome Chiefs players there. Chiefs cheerleaders. We got a couple Chiefs cheerleaders coming. So plenty of cool experiences for a lot of the Wichita fans that they might not have on a normal Sunday.
And then you just show up. You don't have to buy tickets or anything else. You show
up. All free. So come out, support, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys.
So if you're in Wichita, you better be at the Chicken and Pickle watch party with Gary Dieter and Blake Bell and Anthony Sherman and Cornell Powell and some Chiefs cheerleaders and great food and drink at Chicken and Pickle on Sunday night in Wichita. All right, man. Chiefs will are you surprised that they're favored, by the way?
No.
Okay. What about tonight? Cincinnati favored by 3.5. Just give me where you're leaning.
I feel like it's a Dolphins trap, but I like the trap. I like the trap. I like Tyreek.
He's got
What if Tua doesn't play?
Still like Tyreek.
Like Teddy?
Yeah, okay. I'm a Teddy Bridgewater guy. He can play.
I do think it was funny when the post-game interview, when Tyreek found out they were playing Cincinnati, he immediately started talking trash on Eli.
Yeah, he's funny. Tyreek's funny. He's got, like, a different personality in those interviews now. It's like he's kind of, like, bringing back, like, the old, like, T.O. type personality.
What about these glasses?
Those are his own Soul Runner glasses that he's promoting. So I think it's he's a smart promotional guy.
What do you think of Eli Apple?
I think he's a con man.
Yeah. Now we go.
I think he's a con.
That's exactly. You hear that, Nate? Eli Apple's a con man.
I mean, he made like one good play at the end of the game against the Chiefs and
he's living
automatically gets on Twitter. But Tyreek will humble him if they go one-on-one.
Well, Tyreek's the number one wide receiver for the competitive pricks. And so tonight we're looking for a big matchup,
a big game
for Tyreek Hill. Gary, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, boys.
That's Gary Dieter back after this on WHP.